Let's return to This Week in America. Here's your host, Rick Bratton.
Welcome back, everybody. Coast to Coast, This Week in America. Experience the enchanting journey of the Warrior Queen and King of the Road trilogy by Ted Cessna, also known as Flying Carmen. In Book 1, a bonding love tale of two car nuts, you'll meet 18-year-old Torino Tori Crystal, an extremely beautiful young lady who feels like her life has been completely destroyed, and 22-year-old Ted Carlton, who she meets on a train from Queens, New York to Atlanta, Georgia. Soon, she is told of her true heritage and how she must take her place and earn her title of Warrior Queen. In Books 2 and 3, the saga continues. Witness the strength, grace, and resilience of our heroine, weaving a captivating narrative filled with feminine power, self-discovery, and unwavering determination. Flying Carmen is fourth cousin, twice removed, of Clyde Cessna, founder of the Cessna Aircraft Company, and his father, Carl Cessna, served in the U.S. Army Corps in World War II. He currently lives in Taneytown, Maryland. Flying Carmen, author of The Warrior Queen and the King of Road Trilogy, is our guest on This Week in America. Welcome to the program. It's a pleasure to have you with us today.
Thank you. It's a pleasure to be here.
What a remarkable job you've done with this trilogy. It is so visual, and we'll talk about making this into a possible movie because all the elements are there, and I'll direct people to Facebook, for example, and they can find the trailers there, and they really, you bring the story alive. What is the core message or theme of this trilogy?
Well, mainly, I kind of wanted to give women and girls like a sense of empowerment, because to me, there's not a whole lot of stories out there, like books or movies, where like the main hero is a woman. Like, there's not a lot of that out there.
No, there's not.
Why is that? It's like, why do guys always have to get all the glory? Like, I am a man, but I do believe that woman is equal to man. That's what Adam says in the Bible when he meets Eve, for crying out loud.
Yes.
But it's like, and also, when a guy does something brave, of course we think he's being brave. But then when a woman does something brave, we think she's being stupid. I kind of want to get rid of that. I want to get rid of all that stereotypical stuff.
Well, you break that down in this trilogy. The trilogy is available wherever books are sold. I'll direct you to flyingcarmenbooks.com. That's Ted's website, Flying Carmen, C-A-R-M-A-N, flyingcarmenbooks.com. All the information on all the books there. Among your many hobbies, and it's probably more than a hobby, is you're an avid follower and have been of Taylor Swift. Here's a strong woman. She's a strong musician. She's a strong woman. She's a strong personality. She's a strong businesswoman. Is that some of the inspiration for maybe your character just based on the strength of Taylor Swift?
Well, a tiny bit. And plus, also, Taylor is also one who stands up for herself. But
yes.
I kind of wanted to, well, usually, actually, my publisher actually asked me this. How do I come up with these stories? And a lot of times, they just comes me, like I say, it whacks me upside the head, and then it won't get out of my head until I write it down. But I kind of wanted to like make it so that if a woman finds herself like really low, because like as it says, Tori feels like her life has been destroyed, but like you feel like you're drowning in all these negative circumstances, like you have to realize, you have to find it within yourself to like, I don't want to be here. I want to be stronger. I want to get stronger. And the only way you can really do that is to believe in yourself. Because, yeah, a lot of people can help you, but in the end, it's your choice. And so yes. I think girls, they really need to know that, yes, I can get stronger. I can become a better person. You see all these great women out there, and then a lot of the common ones, well, that's the only way I can refer to it, but they like, it's almost like women are being told to like hate the way they are naturally by society. And it's like, no, you're beautiful. You're the way you are naturally. You're beautiful. You're talented. And it doesn't matter if it's something that mostly boys do. If you feel like you can be like a race car driver or a paranormal investigator, you can do it. That's what I want to tell girls. It's like anything that a guy can do, you can do too.
And that comes across in all three books in the trilogy, the Warrior Queen and King of the Road trilogy. We're talking specifically about a bonding tale of two car nuts. That's the first book in the series. We'll touch on the other two as well. The author is Ted Sessner, writes under the name Flying Carmen. He's our guest on the program. Flying Carmen Books is his website. All of the information there, and you'll be able to order the books as well. Books, of course, available at Amazon, wherever books are sold. Maybe ahead of myself, but I mentioned the trilogy being adapted for big screen. This is so visual. Your writing is visual. The trailers that you have for the three books are incredibly visual. They're beautiful. The scenery, the cars, the action sequences, it all says movie. How hopeful are you that this will be developed for the big screen?
I'm really hopeful. In fact, actually, the woman from the publisher feels that it really does have big screen potential.
Yes.
I felt that too. Although with the setting, I know that some of the trailers are a little bit medieval looking, but that's kind of like playing into the whole princess thing.
Yes.
And all that. But it's mainly set in modern times. And of course, yeah, a lot of the cars in there are like in the first trailer, it's like kind of like 1950s, but I was basing the cars that are in the store in the books off of cars that I have in my diecast collection upstairs at my house. And I have a whole ton of them. And I wanted to base a lot of the cars that you hear about in the stories on cars that I have in my collection, because some of them they're not quite as common, like the Shelby Cobra Daytona Coupe. I mentioned that in one of the stories. I forget which one, but that one's mentioned in there. And plus also the Ford GT40s, which you probably have heard about in Ford versus Ferrari, but they kind of took a back seat for a little while, but I wanted to bring those back out. And plus also like some iconic ones, like, you know, the Dodge Charger and the Ford Mustang. And actually in the first trailer, you see a Ford Mustang in a couple different scenes there. But I really wanted to showcase a few specific cars. Like if you read each book, and there is a little spot where I take a little bit of time and talk about a specific car. But
I love this interest that you have in cars, and you name the cars. I mean, the cars are personal to you. They're not just cars, are they? An inanimate object. These are personalities to you.
Yeah, cars can have personalities. Like you have to drive it for a while to figure it out. Like with the two cars, like the two real cars that are mentioned in my author bio. Yeah, my Meadowbrook is really feisty because it's got a 400-plus horsepower engine in it. I say it's a grandma-age car with teenage horsepower, so yeah. And then my Charger, it's named after Selina Kyle, a.k.a. Catwoman, if you ever read Batman.
Yes.
But she is very cat-like.
It's incredible, and the cars come to life. All of the stories, the characters, of course, multi-layered and come across in the story. And we'll talk about those during the conversation today. We're talking about the Warrior Queen and King of the Road trilogy, specifically book one, A Bonding Love Tale of Two Car Nuts. Flying Carmen, the author, our guest on the program. What aspects of the trilogy are most important to preserve in a film adaptation? Let's think the positive here, because I think something is going to happen. You've got all of the elements. What's important for you to carry over into the film?
Well, I would probably say, like, mainly, like, the events that lead up to the trial, like, the actual trial that they have to face in order to, like, earn their title. Because in the first book, Tori has to ends up having to earn her title of Warrior Queen. So the trial itself, yes, that really needs to be in there. But then also like events that lead up to the trilogy, to the trial, like there's a couple sequences where she ends up having a couple of nightmares, but they end up telling her like significant stuff about her upcoming trial. And then also you'll see in Trials of the Three Princesses, and then also from Damsel in Distress to Warrior Princess, she's able to use, it's like it's a special ability that she has, and she is able to use that to give her daughters insights, little teeny tiny little tidbits of information about their upcoming trial, so like they can prepare. That stuff that should really be preserved. And plus also in the first book, like parts like the dance that she goes to, with the main male character. I actually, funny thing, I kind of based the main male character off of myself, because in the first book, you'll notice that I mentioned the tattoos, and actually I have those exact same tattoos on me. So I was kind of basing it off of myself, but I kind of didn't want to I don't know if I would really want to cast myself as myself. It would be a little, I think it would be a little funny.
But well, you're the author. You have the liberty to do that, that you can base it upon yourself. The Flying Carmen, it's his author name, pen name, and in real life, it's Ted Cessna. So I'm calling him Ted, and you wonder what I'm doing. Flying Carmen, that's what you need to remember. The website is flyingcarmenbooks.com. The books are all written under the name Flying Carmen. Remember that, and you'll be fine. As you're reading this, were there any scenes or chapters that you feel were especially strong visually that really, again, these are almost must-have because these will jump off the screen as people are watching?
Yeah, like I was saying, the dance, that which is a really key element, plus also like the train sequence wherein she first meets the main male character, because that's when like they really start to form a little bit of a bond, because she really loves cars, he really loves cars. And of course, that's not something that girls are typically interested in, although I know there are a lot of women out there who do like cars, so I kind of was like trying to appeal to them also. Yes. You know, and also right after the dance, she has a second nightmare that kind of like ties in directly to a part of her trial that happens. So like there are a lot of movies where you have like these dream sequences, and I think dream sequences in this series are quite powerful, and I think that's kind of like really what like makes people like really interested. It's really powerful. Like, you know, like sometimes your dreams, they can actually mean something. Like it can be a precognition.
Oh, yes.
I don't know exactly that's how
yes.
you say that, but I've actually had some of those myself in real life.
Well, I think they do happen.
A dream actually happens. Like I've actually had a few of those. Like for example, my girlfriend, like I think it was like a year before I met her, I had this like, it was like a clear vision in my head. Like I could see it so clear. It was like I was actually standing there. I was seeing myself kissing this beautiful blonde lady beside a lake. And then right when I first saw her, I met her on a dating site. But when I first saw her, her photos, that whole thing came right back to me just as clearly as it was when I first had it. So, yeah.
Well, you touch
and then
into
plus
that.
Also like some of the racing scenes and stuff. I want to preserve those too.
Yeah, and capture those. Those are very visual. Just in reading the book, I don't want to just to wait for the movie. Buy the book and enjoy it now, because all these scenes come to life because Flying Carmen, Ted has done an excellent job of giving life to these characters, and they literally jump off the page. These are dynamic characters and a storyline that you follow. How do you feel about potential changes or additions to the movie adaptation process? Sometimes people, you know, want to make changes along the way that may conflict with your creativity. What do you think?
Well, I'm actually kind of interested in, like, if it is developed into a movie series, I'd be really interested in hearing what they think. But I do actually have some changes that I think would probably be beneficial. Like, there's a part where I say, like, where she actually begins her training, like, it takes a place over like a week, but I don't know exactly what the term is, but there's in some movies that I've seen, there's like certain little, it's like a bejumble of quick little scenes that like they just fade in and then fade out. Like after a couple of seconds. Like that would be really good for that part. And then plus also there's another question, I know it's coming up, about making how it's hard to get a multi-book series to be turned into a movie series, like how to get it to flow. I have like a little change in mind of how we might be able to, like, when one movie ends, then like make people, like get people interested and excited for the next one.
Yes.
So like they'll be like really eager for it to come out. But then also when that movie comes out, then like to catch it, to like catch reader, to catch viewers up on like where the previous one left off and where the current one is going to be starting. Given this, I already have an idea for that.
Well, that's good. Given this a lot of thought, we're talking about the particular, this is book one in the series, A Bonding Love Tale of Two Car Nuts by Flying Carmen. We're talking about his trilogy, The Warrior Queen and King of the Road Trilogy. Books are available, flyingcarmenbooks.com. Of course, wherever books are sold, direct you to Amazon, all of the other places. What tone, style do you imagine for the film adaptation? How do you perceive this being presented totally visually?
Well, almost kind of like a little bit of a romance, a little bit of an action movie, and then also a little bit of a thriller. So like some action, some suspense, and also some love. And like the events that lead up to the trial, like kind of go at like a medium pace, like show like details through there. But then like there's also almost always in every movie, there's almost like one specific part where it's like really detailed, like really drawn out. That should be like the actual trial itself, because that's probably where everything gets the most interesting. And that's, I think, what really would mean the most to viewers. So like a fairly medium to wrap, like a slow to medium pace leading up to the trial, and then like a drawn out pace for the whole trial itself, because that's where like a lot of the detail really should go.
That, yes. I'm sure you've given thought to, if they said, okay, who do you want us to go after? Who do you, created these characters. Who do you see portraying them on the big screen? Who would you like, anybody who's out there, who would you like to star in the movie?
Well, kind of the main male character. I'm kind of a little hung up on that. Not really sure who just yet, but I originally wanted to have my girlfriend, Asanka Kristeva, who actually is a legit actress, by the way, play Tori, but she politely declined. And I can understand why, because she came to America the first time for a TV production, but she didn't get to spend any time with me. They actually did offer her a vacation, but then at the very last minute, unfortunately, they took it away from her, which is a real bummer. And so I think she really wants to resume her acting career on her own terms, like when she desires, because she really wants to spend time with me first. And I totally agree with that, because in all honesty, when at the end of the day, she's my wife first and an actress second.
That, yes.
So I was thinking for maybe other possible choices, maybe Kate Upton, or I don't know if Taylor would be interested, but I think maybe Kate Upton would make a good one for Tori, because you know, the body proportions and all that.
Yes.
Probably the only challenge would be like getting the mismatched eyes, because if you read the book, Tori does have mismatched eyes. One's emerald green, the other one's sky blue. So that might be a little bit of a challenge, but hey, movie magic.
Yeah. You know?
And then I was kind of thinking for like when we get to the second and third books, I was kind of thinking like maybe, and also like you do get to meet the triplets at the very end of A Bonding Love Tale of Two Car Nuts, but I was kind of thinking maybe like actresses who are young actresses who are like up and coming. That's kind of what I want.
Yes.
For them, for the girls. Cause then it would give them like that opportunity. Cause I really want to, I want to show girls that they can do that. If they put their minds to it, as Doc Brown says, if you put your mind to it, you can accomplish anything. But I really want to be able to like be able to give them that opportunity. So like young up and coming actresses for the roles of the girls. That's kind of what I want.
These would be three strong characters, three strong roles. I would think you would have no trouble finding good people who could use that as a stepping stone for further careers and establish who they are. And they're able to do strong characters. What are your hopes and expectations for the film adaptation? What are you expecting?
Well, I'm kind of hoping like mainly to put, like I said at the beginning of this, to put all that stereotypical stuff in the past, to like let women know, hey, men are not superior to you. You're just as good as they are. So like I said, if you feel like you can be a paranormal investigator, or you want to be a paranormal investigator, you can. If you think you could be a good race car driver, you can. You just have to believe in yourself. And plus also, like I said, if you're a girl and you're facing adversity, like you feel like, I'm not really gonna do much in life. I'm not really special or anything. No, you are. You just have to take all that negative stuff that's going through your head and like wad it up into a ball and like throw it in the garbage can and put it out at the curb.
Well, you give us good examples of the characters in the book. The first book, again, is a bonding love tale of two car nuts. That's the book one out of the trilogy, the Warrior Queen and King of the Road trilogy. Flying Carman, the author, C-A-R-M-A-N, flyingcarmanbooks.com is his website. As you go through, readers have favorite lines, scenes from the book. I'm sure you as the author do as well. Are there any must scenes, must lines in the character, in the book that you really feel they have to be part of the movie? That's part of the story, a main part of the story.
Yeah, there's like, actually, if you read the whole series, you'll see this in every single book. You will see it. That is a guarantee. Then the line is this: in a battle between love and hate, love always wins.
Yes.
And I think that is very true. And plus, you'll see that, yes, true love is still around. It still exists. And that line is one line that I really want to preserve. And plus also, like, the racing scenes and also, but actually, some of the racing scenes, like, they would have to be condensed, like, especially in the second book, if the whole series gets made into a series, like, we would have to, like, condense them. But, like, when they're demonstrating, and also when in the first book, when the actual confession or profession of love is made, which is at a Pizza Hut, that should definitely be in there. And plus also because in the first book, she actually receives her ancestor's sword. And plus also, I forgot to mention this when we were talking about actors and actresses. I forgot to mention this. I think the only person who would actually be able to play Xena in the series and actually play her correctly would be the person who played her originally, and that would be Lucy Lawless. I think she's like the only person who actually plays Xena correctly.
Yes.
Yes. She's the only one who could play Xena correctly. So Lucy Lawless is definitely the only person I can think of who could actually play Xena the right way.
And what a strong actress that could be, you know, carries a part so well, that particular part so well. Is there anything you'd like to share, anything else about the trilogy's potential as a film, as we wrap up our conversation, but just to sort of tie it all together, any other aspects?
Well, like I was mentioning about Xena, she's like a main figure. I was thinking, like, if the whole series gets made, like, to help the story flow, like, at the beginning of, like, the second film, like, recap where the first one left off, and then same with the beginning of the third one. So, like, have her, like, relate to the audience what has happened, and then get them prepared, like, get them excited for, like, the next one that's coming up. And plus, also, this is totally new. I'm actually in the process. I'm almost ready to send it off to the publisher. I am completing a collection of short stories called Short Stories I Told My Dashka. Dashka means darling in Russian, because my girlfriend, Osanka, she was born in Russia, but her family is both Russian and Ukrainian. So kind of wanted to tie that in. It's just a little collection of short stories that I've told her over the years.
Interesting. And I can't wait. Maybe I'll have a chance to talk about that as well. I've got a couple minutes left here. When you started off book one of the series, A Bonding Love Tale of Two Car Nuts, did you know it was going to be a series? Did you know that you'd be going and doing a trilogy, or did it just sort of continue on its own when you got to the end? It really wasn't the end.
Well, I kind of had a hunch when I first started it was going to be a series, because a lot of times my ideas, sometimes I just go with them until, like, it totally stops. But it was like, it just kind of kept evolving.
Yes.
And then plus, for the third book, where they take in which is from Damsel in Distress to Warrior Princess, they take in a defecting Russian girl and have to help her fight for her freedom. I kind of got a little bit of inspiration from the Red Sparrow trilogy, which is, they made a movie out of the first book, but it seems they're not going to be doing a series about the whole entire trilogy, which I think is pretty silly.
Yes.
And also really sad, because I think it's a really awesome series. But that was where I got a lot of my inspiration for the third book. And plus, I think it ties in really well with all the rest of the stuff from, like, the core message and everything for the whole, for the series as a whole.
You do such a wonderful job in developing these characters. Is it almost like Ted and Tori are family members? Do you think sometimes you actually know who these people are?
Sort of, but I think I've always had a knack for writing, even when I was still knee high to a grasshopper. But I don't think there's been anybody in my family who was really big on writing. Like, my dad didn't like writing, and my mom doesn't like writing, but I'm the only one that seems to be really good at it. Like, plus, everybody who I've ever shown my previous stuff to that I never published, they've always been like, you should try to publish some of this stuff. And it was like, one time, you know what, when the story for A Bonding Love Tale of Two Carnots came to me, I was like, you know what, I think this is, like, the best stuff that I've done. I think I'm going to try to get this one published. I think this is what I need to start off on.
Well, that was a good choice. Follow it up by the next two. Book one is A Binding Love Tale of Two Carnuts. Book two is Trials of the Three Princesses. And book three, From Damsel in Distress to Warrior Princess. Now, all three of these books are available wherever books are sold. Let's go to Flying Carmen's book site, because we'll have all the information there. Order them there as well, Flying Carmen, C-A-R-M-A-N, flyingcarmenbooks.com. And all of the information is there for the books. And you can follow as to this progresses into the movie adaptation. I'm sure he'll have updates there as well. Ted, it's been a pleasure having you on the program. I love what you're doing. I love the visuals that you have, that you've created in the trailer. It's a wonderful job with this. Much success, and we will stay in touch. And thank you for being with us on the program.
It was my pleasure.
It's been fun. I also would like to thank BlueInkScribble.com for arranging our conversation with Ted today. Affordable publishing and marketing services in one stop. Take the right step toward the book of your dreams with Blue Ink Scribble, their website, blueinkscribble.com. Thank them for arranging today's conversation. Ted, once again, thank you very much. Oh, just in closing here, you are a part of the Cessna Air family, right? I wasn't just making that up at the beginning. I first saw your name. I thought, I wonder if he flies. I wonder if he's got an airplane. And it's like, it's related to the guy that created that. So it's been a pleasure having you on the program. Thank you for being with us. And again, all the information on Ted's website, flyingcarmenbooks.com. Link on directly by going to our website, thisweekinamerica.us. You're listening to This Week in America, and we're back on today's program right after these messages.
You're listening to This Week in America with Rick Bratton. More after this.